awesome.
Was Elvis the preacher?
No.
No.
No. But we did go to an Elvis wedding one time.
Nice.
Yeah, he drove in on pink Cadillac. It was nice.
Wow.
Check.
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 Check. Check.
Check. Welcome to the show. This is Between Two Beards podcast. I'm your host, Brock.
And I'm your other host, Mike.
And we are the beards that you are between.
I like that.
Well, welcome to the show. We have the Kaufman family joining us for this week's episode. Kaufman family, say hello.
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 There they are. Eli, will you introduce yourself for us? Get us kicked off here?
No, he's shaking his head. No, there's no chance.
Well, we can always come back. We'll circle back.
We'll circle back. We'll give you some time to warm up the, I think his voice, he didn't do the voice warm-ups.
Oh, yeah, you had to do the la, 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 red leather, yellow leather.
Sweet Caroline, what?
Well.
Let's talk to the girl.
Yeah. Eden, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Eden, tell us your name.
Even though we just said it.
I'm Eden.
Oh, what a surprise.
Oh, hey.
Hey. How old are you, Eden?
11.
11. The big ones. What grade are you in?
Sixth grade.
Sixth grade. At what school?
Nori Christian.
Man, these are pretty softball questions, right? Now we're going to get into the hard stuff. You ready? What's your favorite subject in school? Dun, dun, dun.
Lunch.
That's the right answer.
Lunch.
That is the right answer.
So if you could only eat one lunch forever, what would it be?
Go ahead.
Baked ziti.
Baked ziti.
It's an upset. You guys are ready for that?
But it's a hearty one, yeah. I'll have to say. Yeah.
Yeah, it is a hearty
baked
one.
Baked ziti. Baked ziti. That's the favorite school lunch.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a favorite color?
Blue.
Blue. Oh, that's a nice color. I like
blue.
Blue
is a nice color.
That is a nice color. I thought pink was coming in here, but no.
No.
All right. Outside the box. I like it.
Mike sees a pink shirt and assumes pink is the favorite color, by the way.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure if it was pink or not. The lights over there like make everything look pinkish red and messes with my eyes. No. Eden's like,
it's okay. Mike told me he has to get glasses soon again, so.
We're not going to talk about that. Yeah. Last question. Real hard stuff. What do you like to do for fun?
Watch TV.
Watch TV. Ooh, let's talk about TV. I love TV.
Favorite show?
Thank you.
I don't have one.
Oh, my gosh.
Not one?
You're serious? Like, you're going to turn the TV on. You're going to watch a show. What do you want to watch? Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
It's got to be Bluey.
Yeah.
Right? I was going to say Bluey, too. I was getting
Bluey's
there.
Good.
Everybody loves Bluey.
Bluey is...
Our producer likes Bluey.
Cross-generational.
Yeah, I heard he watches Bluey a lot.
Yeah, Mr. Producer does like that show.
He's probably watching it right now. So, is it Bluey? Did we get that one right? Yes!
Wow, Bandit is my favorite.
Bandit?
Mm-hmm.
What about Bandit Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Will you go there? I don't know anything about Bluey. TMNT? Anybody? Eli. Help a brother out. No, he's like, no.
We do know at least that he likes Minecraft.
Oh, really?
We can
How
at
we
least
know that?
deduce that.
Do you like Minecraft or did you just find that?
Yeah.
Nothing. Absolutely
Are you
nothing.
A world builder?
He is stoic. Really? Nothing. You know what happens if you don't start answering our questions? We come up with answers for your questions that are not
Yeah,
great.
We do that yeah. from time to time.
We've changed people's names.
Yeah.
Given them haircuts.
Yeah.
Nothing. All right.
All right. Well, let's move on to
We'll
mom
circle
and dad.
Back. Let's yep. go to mom and dad. I agree. All right, mom. You're up. You're on the mic. What's your name?
Evan.
Evan. Eden. Eli. Are you sensing a theme?
Yeah, I think I am. Yeah.
What, one of these is going to be not like the other. But we'll get to him later.
It's a silent E, probably.
You want to just give us a little Reader's Digest version of where you grew up, went to high school, life after high school?
I grew up in Southern California in a city called Montebello.
Montebello. Yeah. I lived in Diamond Bar for a few years.
I know where that is.
Yes, you do.
Very close. I went to Montebello High School, so I was an Oiler.
Nice.
Played some sports, swam, color guard. After high school, I went on to college. Okay. I ended up graduating from Long Beach State with a bachelor's in nursing.
Nice.
So I am an RN. And have been for a really long time now.
And then, so you're a long ways from home.
Very long ways. Yes.
Is all your family still back that way?
Yep. So my whole family's in Southern California, and my sister, her husband, and four children are in Las Vegas.
Okay.
So, Can we go visit them?
Anytime you want.
We were just in Vegas September.
I think the last time I was on the West Coast, I was like 3 or 4 years old. So
really?
Yeah, I think I'm due.
The weather in Southern California is unbelievable. We were just in Long Beach, actually, in September. We did Jody's has an aunt that lives. She bought her condo in Long Beach back in, say, the 40s. So, you know, she's sitting on a gold mine.
Yes, she is.
But she was nice enough to come and let us stay. And we stayed in Long Beach for a couple nights and days. And then we went to Vegas to watch the Steelers play the Raiders.
Nice.
It was a good time. So we'll come back. We'll circle back because I think there's a story here with Mr. Guy on how this West Coast girl ended up, you know, it's cold out. Here.
Very cold.
You poor thing. I feel for you. All right, Mr. Is it begin with an E at all over there?
No, close.
Oh.
C.
Nice.
Christian.
On the nose with Christian.
So I grew up in Camp Hill.
Okay.
An hour and a half away.
Oh, we will hold that against you.
Yeah, it's okay.
I was a rival for Southern when I was in high school.
But where are you born?
Born in Santa Monica, California.
Oh,
yeah.
So actually,
okay.
Moved when I was in second grade. Mm. Went to Cedar Cliff High School, then Penn State for undergrad. I took a little tour outside of Pennsylvania.
Good for you.
First stop in Michigan, and then in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we're getting closer to California.
Okay.
I hear a love story.
So, yeah. So, Las Vegas for 6 years, and then that's where we met.
So, how did you guys? So, was your sister in Vegas?
She was.
Okay.
Yep.
Is that why you were in Vegas?
Yep. So, I became a traveling nurse.
Nice.
So, I was a traveling RN. Pretty much went all over I could in like 4 years. That kind of really interests me. I found myself in Vegas because my sister was there. And her family was growing, so I stuck around because I was just really enjoying being an aunt to her kids. So
you were the fun aunt.
Yeah. I was super aunt.
Nice.
Yeah.
So then, were you at the slots then when you met Mr. Christian? I see him as a crab table guy.
So actually, I had left Vegas and I did an assignment in Boston because I wanted to experience a New England fall. And I was there in 2004 during Red Sox World Series, which was amazing.
I bet.
Amazing. And
it was the first one in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The city was.
Yeah.
Was on fire.
It was awesome. Yeah.
It was pretty cool. And then I thought, well, I'm pretty much done traveling, so I'll head back to Vegas, regroup, and then head home to Southern California. And that's what I did. I went back to Vegas and then ended up meeting Christian in trauma ICU in Las Vegas. And I never made it back to Southern California.
Were you working or were you traumatized?
Well, yeah, I was working.
That would be interesting.
Because I couldn't go, you know.
Yeah, so we met halfway through my intern year there. So in January of 2005.
Mm-hmm.
I was on one of my trauma ICU rotations. And bed 14 is where we met.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, who's this tall 14. Drink of water?
I like it.
Bed 14.
Yeah.
So you met, you start dating, and then, but you're like, you're ready to go east. Is that what you were planning? Like, was that your plan?
No, that was not my plan. At that point, I had no plan. So I had a plan in my head as far as where to go to college and where to go to medical school. Mm-hmm. Las Vegas was a curveball that I didn't anticipate. And beyond that, I didn't really have a plan.
Mm. Okay.
And so, you know, I moved out to Las Vegas not knowing anyone with a couple bags.
Wow.
Ready for 6 years of excitement. I'd been out there once for spring break, and that's all I really knew of the city.
Intense residency.
Yeah. Intense residency. And so, yeah,
I didn't
anticipate coming back to Pennsylvania for sure.
Okay.
But you never know what happens.
Right. So where now are we? Where is God in all this? Have we met God yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. Do we?
Yeah. Do you want to go first, Ethan?
No, you can.
Okay. Yeah. So, interestingly, you know, I grew up kind of going to church. We went to several different churches, mm-hmm. Methodist, Presbyterian, whatnot. When I was in high school, my family stopped going to church as much for various reasons. And it wasn't until really the end of medical school for me that I feel like I truly started to search. So I was actually on a mission trip in Africa with my dad, and I was asked by somebody, when were you saved? And that was really the first time anyone had asked me that. And I thought, that's a good question. I had always really thought about God as being present in my life. I prayed, but I did not really have a relationship at that time.
Mm-hmm.
One of my close medical school friends was a Christian, and The Passion was coming out, and actually invited several people, several of our friends out to go watch the movie and answer questions. And at that point is when I started to search a little bit more, start asking questions. He gave me The Case for Christ. I read that in no time. And it really, looking back, I can see how God was protecting me, because you then head to Las Vegas where you can get everything at any moment, any time.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so moving to Las Vegas, within the first week, I found a church to go to and got connected in that church and really started to, you know, at that point, I would consider myself a new Christian. Mm. I was on fire and and so then when I met Ivan, we kind of interviewed each other very quickly to find out if it was worth the time.
Oh, that's so cool.
So that's kind of, yeah, that's kind of how I ended up on my initial journey.
Wow. Yeah. Sin City to find God.
Yeah. Yeah. I got baptized in the casino hot tub.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
which one?
Several years later. I got to be honest, I don't even remember which hotel. Do you remember which hotel that was?
Not Canada.
It was one of the older school ones.
Oh, okay.
But there were four of us that went through a discipleship class, and I had some opinions about baptism, and ultimately I changed my opinion about it.
It was a casino next west of Rio. I forget.
What was it? That wasn't the Palms, was
no.
it?
No. Mm-mm.
Anyway, I don't remember. I do remember the hot tub, but I do not remember the casino.
All I'm hearing is we need to get a field trip to go figure out which hot tub it was.
I'm in for Vegas. I'm always in. I love Las Vegas. I know it's like not like, oh my gosh, it's Sin City, but man, when I lived in Southern California, you know, you're not that very far away. And we would always go, and our company would just put us up in like Treasure Island or MGM. Or is this better? Sorry. Somewhere, you know, nice, and we would just enjoy just I love the hot, I love heat, so, you know, it was
Vegas
always
was awesome.
Vegas is, like, it's, awesome. It's just everything's bigger. Yeah. It's just, oh my gosh.
As long as you don't gamble.
I see. I like the girl.
Yeah. I lost $20 in about 2 minutes. That was the only $20 I lost in my 6 years there.
Yep.
When we were walking, my buddy and I. We had a tour. Like when I worked for Campbell, we had to go out in twos, right? And my buddy and I were at a. Actually, it was Reno. It wasn't Vegas. We were in Reno. We were actually doing the schools in the Reno area, and we walked into a casino. I had $2. That's all I had. And because I didn't have my wallet, and I said, we either walk all the way back to where we're staying, or I put this $2 in the machine, hope for the best, and we can get dinner right now. He's like, it's never going to work out. I popped $2 in, max bet, hit $50. Let's go get dinner.
That's how they get you.
My only mind frame for Vegas is National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation. Like, that's all I can... That's all my brain is in the world of Vegas is that. That's it. That's all I can. I mean, it's definitely not that anymore. But you know, no. That's all I.
Well,
it's all familiar I am with Vegas. But
well, I actually grew up. My dad played cards, and you know, he'd always have card games going and stuff. I grew up in a Christian home. Yeah. But Armenians, I'm Armenian. That's what they do. They play cards. The guys play cards. So I learned poker at a young age. I was, I don't know, early teenager.
Yeah.
So I did play cards at the casinos in Vegas. But I'd always go with about $60 and I'd sit there for hours. Mm. So I enjoyed that. Mm. That sort of stopped after I met Christian. Mm. Just because... You know, things just were changing, and
yeah.
But I didn't see it as I never really chased my losses, so I didn't really see it as a problem for me. But yeah, always found cards and enjoying.
I love cards too, but man, I couldn't. I've never actually played a card game at a casino. They intimidate me so much. I can't do it. Look at you. Mad props to you, girl. cannot do it. And I'd be like, okay, today's the day I'm going to do it. I like, talk myself into doing it, and I get to do it. Like, I can't. They're all just, I don't know. There's something about it. People take it, it's like super, I mean, I get it. Money's on the line, so of course they're going to take it super seriously, but.
She was ice cold at the table.
Nice.
I didn't actually play with her, but I watched.
Yeah, I'd have a huge poker face. I'd be like, I got it. I'm going to get it.
I just knew I never Pocket wanted deuces. To be Clark Griswold betting my entire like life savings, you know.
Well, it's been about 20 years since I played poker. So yeah.
All right.
So you interview each other, you find out, okay, we have similar faith backgrounds. You're planning on going to Southern California, you're not sure what you're gonna do. How does things evolve to engagement, marriage? Now we're going to go work for Geisinger at some point.
Yeah. So I knew I had a shot when Yvonne extended her travel contract by 3 more months.
Okay.
So I was like, I got 3 more months to go.
Lock this down.
Yeah. I was like, all right, here we go.
You couldn't find a chapel. Pretty sure.
That's what happened.
And so we dated for several years.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was in a bit of a dilemma when I met Christian. And something I always... swore I would never do as a nurse was date a doctor. especially a surgeon.
Dun, dun, dun.
We got a reputation.
So, but when I met him and I think we talked on the phone for 5 hours before we actually went on a date.
Wow.
Our first date was lunch, then coffee, then church.
Wow.
So, the more I got to know him, the harder it was for me to talk myself out of him, which I tried to do a number of times. Because I was desperate to get back home. And Christian made it pretty clear that there was no guarantee his specialty could take us to California. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of thinking, contemplating, praying to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's...
So then you extended for 3 months to pray about this while
so I
tempting yourself with this tall drink of water.
I extended for 3 months. Then I ended up buying a place out there, and I went. I didn't really go on staff per se, but I did become per diem. So I was more committed.
Okay.
And our relationship continued to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked a ton.
Mm-hmm.
So he only had 1 day off a month. He would walk around with 5 pagers.
1 day off a month?
I mean, four days off a month.
Oh. Yeah, 1 day a week.
Day a week.
I was like, my goodness, brother.
We exaggerate, though, and just go with 1 day.
It probably feels like that.
Yeah, it was, I guess my point is he was super busy.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was busy with my job and really investing in my nieces and nephews and my sister. Her kids were little. She needed a lot of help. I was there helping her. So kind of worked out nice that he worked so much, and mm-hmm. I guess I did too.
Yeah.
But yeah, our relationship grew. And
so what's the engagement story? How did we get engaged? I got a wink.
Yeah.
Was it bedside 14?
Yeah, bed 14. No. I was a little cliche. So I proposed at Christmas time.
Nice. That's all right.
We had inherited a boxer from her sister. So as her sister was having more children, they got a dog, and then we inherited the dog. And so
she was a great dog.
Yeah. And so, I proposed Christmas morning with the help of a dog picture and a new van picture. And 9 months later, we got married in Las Vegas,
mm-hmm.
off the strip, with yep. the strip
in our background.
As kind of the backdrop, which was awesome.
Was Elvis the preacher?
No.
No.
No. But we did go to an Elvis wedding one time.
Nice.
Yeah, he drove in on pink Cadillac. It was nice.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, it was... planning the wedding was interesting. Again, Ivan's Armenian.
Yeah.
I'm mostly Dutch.
Okay.
So we have quite differences, different cultures, which I don't think we realized until we started planning the wedding. And so we worked through that, and it was awesome.
It was an awesome
wedding. Ivan had a friend in his band come and do a traditional Armenian walkout.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what it's called, Ivan. You may have to help me out on that.
I don't remember what it's called either. But they
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's just Armenian music. They play you in and just have a big celebration for a little while.
Yeah, and they do like a circle dance, and I'm not a dancer. Yeah. So that was...
You're not a dancer.
That was a challenge. No.
There's some traditions that Armenians participate in when they get married. Some of them we did not do, but the music was, I couldn't have the food, which was a disappointment to me, but we still had great food.
Mm-hmm.
But the music was a big deal for me, so I brought out a band from California that I grew up with.
Nice.
And yeah, they played our music, so it was awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right, here's the $6 million question. How many years ago was this?
Almost 15 years. September will be 15
2009.
15 yeah. years.
So if you can imagine my big fat Greek wedding.
Yeah.
That's it's very similar to really? How Armenian really? Wedding is.
I
yeah.
love that. I love that.
They're big.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. That's that is awesome. Yeah, so then really cool. you get married. You're in Vegas living your best life. Who yeah, decided so we, for like to come back to Pennsylvania? I'm yeah. sorry. I just got to no. know.
It's tough. I know. It's tough.
How do you do this? Why do you do this?
So I had 9 more months of residency, and I was going to do a craniofacial fellowship. Mm-hmm. And so I got matched up in North Carolina. So then we spent a year in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, which was a challenging year.
Yeah, it was challenging.
You know, I had my
probably
place.
Our most challenging.
Our most challenging the time year, we knew so. Each other.
Yeah. UNC fans are tough. I understand.
Yeah, they're challenging.
Yeah, they're very challenging. I'm a Duke fan.
We did get to a Duke basketball game, which was awesome.
That is
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, one of my friends pulled some strings to get us nice. There. But So I had my place in Vegas. Evan had her place in Vegas, and to go into an apartment and store the rest of our stuff and
on the third floor with a boxer who would only pee at the dog park, yeah.
which was on the opposite side of the complex.
And oh, it was great. Humid like crazy. Yeah,
big bugs.
I'd never experienced in my life. And
oh my gosh.
Ice in the winter.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And the apartment was freezing because the insulation was terrible.
Mm. Yeah. It was a challenging
thing. Wow. It
you just
like
described
it.
My whole last year.
So we were there for a year and then started looking for jobs. Kind of looked at all different places. And we had narrowed it down to 2. Mm-hmm. And Geisinger allowed me to do kind of everything that I wanted to do within plastic surgery. So a lot of times if you are doing cleft work or whatnot, you can't or aren't always given the opportunity to do the other stuff in plastic surgery, and I still want to do the breadth of it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so had it was a good opportunity, and I'll never forget our second look. We were at mm-hmm. the Pine Barn. We were in the parking lot of the Pine Barn, and I said, take a look at the sign, Evan, because we may never see it again because we didn't know what was going to happen. Mm. We did not know we'd be seeing it every day for the next 12 years. But
we laugh about it now.
But yeah, you know, even in the decision of where to go, you know, we can see how God had a hand in that and really guided us here. Mm-hmm. And really, I had never been to Danville before.
I had Why would you?
Before, yeah. correct. Yeah. And so, it's been 12 years now.
12 years.
Yeah.
That's Geisinger. Mm-hmm. So what have you done, Evan, since he came here 12 years ago? I mean, I get it. She's 11, so you guys were pretty quickly having a little one.
Yeah, so I did. My whole career was in the ICU, and prior to meeting Christian, I had career goals of being a CRNA, which mm-hmm. is a nurse anesthetist. When I moved to the area, I quickly learned of Bloom's program. Okay. And I thought, well, that sounds convenient. Mm-hmm. But 3 weeks later, I was pregnant with Eden. Yeah. And I knew that that was not going to happen.
Okay.
And it was okay because I said, well, if we don't have a family, like if that is not in God's plans for us, then I would pursue CRNA school, which is what I wanted to do at the time. So I was pregnant with Eden 3 weeks after we arrived.
Wow.
And so I did not look for a job because I knew that if I had the opportunity to stay home mm-hmm. with my kids, that's what I wanted to do. That's why I became a nurse. I originally started out wanting to go to medical school and be an OB. Mm. And when I learned of nursing and the idea of being a nurse midwife and doing the same thing but having flexibility, I switched. But then I never went on to be a nurse midwife. I got swept away in the ICU, you know, and then, of course, I met Christian in the ICU.
And got swept away again.
Yep. So I've been home. Eden was born in 2012, and then Eli came along in 2014.
Wow.
And
nice.
I've been very busy with them at home.
But now they're at Northumberland Christian.
Yeah, so now they're in school, so... So what am I doing now?
I don't know. That's a great question. Oh, man, it's like you read my mind.
So about a year ago, November of 23, and this is a God thing, because November of 23, I was approached by one of the church attendees to see if I wanted to attend your Loving Choices banquet.
Oh.
And so I said, yeah, because I always had that on my heart and my mind, never really talked about it, but it was there. And then I think within 30 minutes, she found out I was an RN. So she approached me with the idea of volunteering to do ultrasounds for crisis pregnancy. So I started getting trained in that over a year ago. And a lot of changes since then, but that's what I'm doing right now, 2 days a week.
Wow, nice.
I'm there 4 or 5 hours a day while the kids are in school.
Yeah.
And cool. Yeah, so I'm at your Loving Choices.
That's awesome.
Yep.
So, new to the area, did you come to BCC right away, or how did you come to BCC?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we actually did not come to BCC right away because we found a church on the drive from Camp Hill to Danville.
Okay.
So we stopped in there, and we attended there for several years. Mm-hmm. And then they were going through a transition, which we actually were a part of that transition, but then thought, well, we never really looked around at other churches in the area. And so then we went to several different churches, and we came here a couple times at one point.
At least 2 times.
And I got to be honest, I don't even remember how long we've been here now. How long have we been here?
Well, we came, let me see, Eli, 2016? 17.
Has it been that long?
16 and a half, 17, I think.
Time flies. yeah, so when we did that church search, I think we went to a few different areas and different churches. And
we were really struggling with finding a church. Because our church that we were at went through a lot of changes. And so I think you had said, where should we go? And we had heard Eric preach twice. And I said, let's just go back to that place in Bloomsburg. The preaching was great.
And I think, I think it's fair to say, and this is not a criticism of where we were before, but I think at times we just didn't feel like it was necessarily... didn't have the right feel for us at times, mm-hmm. even though they were still preaching the truth, and sometimes you just feel a little bit more connected to different places.
Mm-hmm.
And so we loved Eric's preaching, and we felt very comfortable here, and it just had a different feel. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the nice things about this area is there are many churches around here.
Yeah.
But we've been very happy at BCC, since we've been attending.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, with talking to you, Christian, I'm sure even for you, Evan, like being a Christian and being in your fields, that's had its own challenges at times, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And I just pose that, because we have in this area, a lot of the folks that will come here are also working in the medical field. And I just, not that you have to share any particular details, but how has that been a challenge for you to have your faith in your fields and walk through some of those more difficult situations where you're challenged to?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think, we always have to decide, how bold to be in certain areas. My parents gave me a gold cross, I think when I graduated medical school, to be honest. I forget exactly when it was, but I've worn that on my white coat since I've been here.
Yeah.
I've never once had anyone be upset about it. I do have some patients who see it and comment on it.
Mm.
I've had a few patients ask for me to pray with them, although that is more unusual. Probably I could be a little bit more bold in speaking to people, to be honest. I think you know, medicine definitely has its challenges at times.
Sure.
You know, I try to, again, I've been better at this at times than others, but I try to be relatively calm within the chaos. And I've tried to be an example just by my behavior and how I treat other people. And then, you know, I've been in now a leadership position for 5 years, which was not on the plan either.
Sure.
But I figure God has a plan. And so, you know, I'm going to continue to lead the best way that I can and speaking to the people that I'm working with. And, you know, it's been a challenge at times. But it's pretty obvious if you walk into my office what's important to me. I have a window full of Eden and Eli's drawings, and I have scripture in my office. And so, you know, I'm going to continue to try to be the best example that I can be. But it's been challenging at times, no doubt.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because I think that's, I think it's easy for us in a lot of different areas where we work to feel kind of like we're alone in some of those challenges that we have in our own work environment. So I appreciate you guys. And Yvonne, if you...
Yeah, I experienced my own in the ICU. My faith has always been important to me, and I've never really been ashamed to talk about it with those who want to talk. And I probably was better at this early in my career than later, that I would ask God for opportunity, and could recognize when it would come. But I was also around a lot of death. And so that, and sometimes I was better at handling that than other times. So, I mean, it's, I could see now, it's been over 20 years where it's affected me and where it hasn't, but, I just keep drawing on the Lord and for his strength and his spirit to help me through anything that's tough and challenging in that way. But you can't, like, can't really push anything on anybody, and you wouldn't really, I wouldn't really want to, but there are opportunities and people are hurting. You know, I think we had a opportunity to do a mission trip in 2011 to Palestine, the two of us. And I'd say that was most gratifying of my whole career.
What were you doing in Palestine?
Do you want me to go or do you want to
go? Go ahead.
So my fellowship director was half Palestinian. And half Dutch. And so he went twice a year, and we were training the local, some of the local surgeons. And so Yvonne was going to be one of several nurses.
One of three nurses. I ended up being one of one nurse.
And we were scheduled to go a couple weeks after Bin Laden was killed. And so we were quite nervous, debated whether to even go or not. But we are really glad that we went. But we went for a week. And, you know, it was fascinating. I've never been into a, in a region with so much conflict, whether it's overt or covert conflict.
Plus I don't know if you have, but I never had been into a region that was Islamic controlled and just an Islamic territory.
Correct.
Cause we experienced the call to prayer, which is five times a day, throughout the city walls. So that was, very different.
And we were, you know, we were treated very well. By everyone there. And by the end of the trip, I would never expected it, but we were walking down the street late at night with a couple of the CRNAs that went on the trip with us, and I felt very safe and comfortable. And I don't blend in anywhere, so I definitely did not blend in out there. But you know, they knew what we believed.
There was also Palestinian Christians.
Correct. Christians. And Ivan, I didn't get asked, but Ivan got asked. Sorry, my mistake. A little bit more about Jesus and her beliefs, but everyone treated us very well. But it was a great experience.
Yeah, that sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was asked if Jesus was my God. So one of the surgeons learned that I was Armenian, and come to learn Palestinians like Armenian people, which is nice. So in Armenia was the first Christian nation to claim Christianity as its national religion. So I think that, and then subsequently was persecuted by the Ottoman Turks in 1915. So I think that's in that region, it's very common knowledge. Right. So when they knew I was Armenian, he said, "Is Jesus your God?" And I said, "Jesus is my God." So we talked a little bit about that. And that was interesting because you don't proselytize in those areas.
Yeah.
And you take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And then you answer.
Yeah.
And it was all good. It was fine. But yes, that was an experience.
Yeah. I'm very glad we went. I mean, it was awesome.
Right. Awesome.
I do think going back to something, we were talking about, and this is not unique to medicine by any means, but I think one of the biggest challenges I've faced is dealing with work and then transitioning to home. Because there is, you know, it's hard to leave work at work, but you got to give 100% when you get home. But I think that's been a challenge at times, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. I think parenting is the hardest job in the world.
I don't think I've ever expressed this, but I think as a mom at home with your kids and when they were home all the time and before the school age years, it was hard to transition to when Christian came home into a different role.
Yeah. Like more of like a wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that's just such a common thing. And I think that's one of the awesome things about being able to have this conversation with families in our church is just finding that common place of where we all have some things that are going on that are hard to do. I mean, it is not easy. You know, I can't imagine walking out of the OR and going home. I'm sure you're probably dead tired and either you're on the ICU floor and trying to get past bed 14, you know, get home and, you know, just changing those gears. It's really hard. And I think we don't give ourselves enough grace sometimes to walk through that. And man, it takes a lot of grace to hand that out to a husband or a wife or a spouse. You know, it's you got a lot of things up against it, and it's definitely worth taking those moments to just breathe, to have God take that off of you. You know, even in ministry, we've had, you know, these experiences as well. It's like, it's so easy to take that stuff home with you. And I remember there's a story of a pastor that he had a nail. And it was on his garage, and every time he'd come home, he'd just hit that. And it was a physical reminder of leaving his work outside of his home. And, you know, I think that's sometimes that's doable, but a lot of times it's not. And I think there's just having that commonality of knowing that other people struggle with that too, it does help. It just helps to know you're not alone in some of those struggles.
Christian, what have you done to, like, you knew that was something that was hard for you to work on. Like, it was something you need to work on, right?
Yeah.
Like, I got to transition from surgeon to godly father, husband. What did you do to help yourself like get into that right mode, mind frame?
Yeah, I'm still figuring that out.
Still figuring it out. Yeah.
You know, I just asked somebody. What was it, a month ago? If there were any tips, I think when I've been successful, I have intentionally thought about it. Mm. So,
yeah.
You know, my parents still live in Camp Hill, so my chance to talk to them is about the 10-minute, you know, 5-minute walk in the hospital and the 5-minute drive home. So that there's a huge advantage being 10 minutes away from the house, but there's a disadvantage because it's harder to to leave that behind.
Yeah.
And my dad's a retired general surgeon, so if we start talking about medicine stuff, it still just kind of lingers before I know it. I'm, you know, in the garage and, you know, walking in the house, and I haven't taken that. So I think when I've been successful, again, it's been an intentional reminder that I got to leave that behind.
Yeah,
I have to give my family the same attention that I give work.
Hmm.
And at times I feel like they have gotten seconds.
Yeah.
When they shouldn't. Andy Van has probably felt that the most.
Yeah.
And when we look back at pictures or have memories, I say to Van, I was there. Right. I was there.
Mm. He was there.
Physically there.
Yeah. He was there too though. I think he's a little hard on himself at times, but he was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I really tried hard to make it to the important things and be present.
Mm-hmm.
But I think probably the hardest time for me, and again, I don't know if you agree or not, but when I did transition into a leadership role at work, that was really challenging
for me.
Because then everything was still lingering in the back of my head.
Yeah.
Right.
But I think so much of what we do, if we're intentional about it, we're going to have more success. But that's a daily, that's a daily reminder.
Amen.
So I would say that he is pretty intentional about creating strategies to help himself.
Yeah.
And I've appreciated that. I've learned from him. But it was the leadership role transition was hard. We had a lot going on at that time, but then within 3 months, COVID hit.
Mm.
Right? 3 months, 3-4 months.
Yeah.
And that then really made it even harder.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So what does the Coffin family, as a family, what do we like to do for fun? What do we do to not work? You know, what is good times? I know we've been roller skating a couple times. I've seen you guys on skate nights, blowing by me, not saying hi. Yeah, I've noticed. Yeah, I clocked it.
What do we do?
Well, we enjoy traveling,
whether
it's traveling to see family or, you know, ski trips or whatever trips, taking them to do something fun.
What's the highest mountain we've skied? Have we gone to the Rockies, Utah?
No, we were in Montana last year.
Oh, Glacier National Park.
Which was awesome. No, Bridger Bowl.
Bridger, okay, nice.
Just north of Bozeman.
Yeah. But just kind of run-of-the-mill ordinary. We love to watch TV together, cooking shows. The kids and I love to watch Little House on the Prairie and When Calls the Heart together. We used to take walks a lot as a family.
Do we have a pet now? Do we have a dog?
We do, yeah. We have another boxer.
Okay.
Who is a rescue from a mill. And she is now 8 years old. We've had her about 4 years, I think.
Yes, yeah. She'll be 9 in April.
Does she like walks too?
She does. She loves it. She is... I know everyone says about the dogs, but she's the sweetest dog.
Aww.
Yeah. We actually didn't know if she had the ability to bark for a full year. Because we hear they can debark these animals, which is pretty horrific. But she started to bark in when she was sleeping. I was like, oh, she can bark.
She barks. Yeah.
When she realized she wasn't going anywhere. But she is, she's the sweetest dog. And so, yeah, we did a lot of walks with her. Mm. Like to get outdoors when we can.
Yeah.
Eli likes to mountain bike. Eden likes to mountain bike.
Swimming in the pool.
Swimming.
Heading to the beach.
Yeah, but a lot of it's traveling.
Yeah.
We try to go out west, fair to say, 2 to 3 times a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, do we like the East Coast beaches or the West Coast beaches better?
Oh.
We hit one. Yeah.
Can anything replace my Pacific Coast sunsets? Well, one day I was standing in my kitchen and looking out my window, and the Lord showed me that my East Coast sunrises are just as beautiful as my West Coast sunsets. Nice. So,
earlier.
Yeah. So I can appreciate both.
Yeah.
I feel like my heart will always be on the West in
that
way.
I understand that.
But I've really, so being out here by myself with no family other than my in-laws that are an hour and a half away, 2 small children. Mm-hmm. I've asked the Lord, why?
Yeah.
Why, Lord? Why? Because this is not how I grew up.
Amen.
My culture would not even stand it. and every step of the way, I think the Lord has said, you know, grow where you're planted. I started to appreciate the seasons. Mm-hmm. I didn't grow up this way. But mostly the big lesson in it for me was to learn to depend on God above all else and my husband second. And so I grew up, I never really told you about my kind of faith walk background, but I grew up in a Christian home, but my parents were divorced when I was 8. So we church hopped for a while. My mom ended up taking us to non-denominational church, Christian church. And that was, I mean, I was 6 when I gave my life to the Lord, but in theology of a child, Jesus loves me, this I know, you know, like that was my life. But then, you know, we go through some trials and stuff and things change. And I don't know, I rededicated my life back to the Lord in 1997. So that's it. That's it for me. Like I turned toward God and I ask him what's up and why, you know, and trust. I trust him.
Yeah.
I see him everywhere. And I remember everywhere that he's delivered me from, because I've had some rocky roads, but.
Yeah. When you look back, I mean, I think we can both in our lives look at where God was protecting us from certain things and guiding us even when we had, or at least I'll say I had no idea. Yeah, it's faith in him, faith in his plan when we don't really know what that plan is.
Yeah.
And try to be open to whatever he has in store for us.
So here's my one final question as we kind of have to be wrapping up here. And as I'm going to actually go to you, Evan, to get us out of here. There's so many families that I know that attend this church that are in a similar situation where they're implants from somewhere else, and they're here, they're with no family, and they have kids, and it's hard. What would be your number one advice that you would give if someone said, I don't understand why I'm here, and I don't know what to do?
I would suggest getting connected with a Bible study. Mm-hmm. When I first landed here, I was connected with 5 Bible studies, trying to find the right Bible study.
Yeah.
If you have small children, get connected with MOPS through First Baptist Church in this area. That's what I did when Eden was 1. But just keep asking God, and he will show you. He will show you. He's shown me. You just have to keep pressing in and trusting and asking and talking. And also, I think something in my marriage that I do have is that I do have a supportive husband who I can talk to, who listens. And that's helped me a lot.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice.
I don't know if that really.
No, that's
good advice or not.
I think that's great advice. And I think that if some people that are out there listening, like, they have no idea what to do, because it's basically get in touch, get into a community,
right.
Find your people.
Yep, find your people. That's right.
Yeah.
And
so
no, you're not alone.
Yeah.
It's very. I mean, it can be very isolating.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with winter.
Well, winter's so
hard. It was
hard.
My first year with Eden. Yeah. This was all new to me. Winter.
It's the worst.
We've been fortunate. It hasn't been so bad.
It's
like this last week has been.
There's snow on the ground right now.
The last 2 years has not been that bad.
Where have you been the last 6 weeks? The beaver said it was going to be a short winter.
Okay.
Anyway, that's the coffin, Bailey. Eli, do you want to talk us out of here?